I'm Dan Hughes in the Treasure Corner. The United States minted its first nickels right after the Civil War ended, in 1866. And for nearly 150 years now, the metallic composition of the nickel has been the same, except for the war nickels, which I'm going to discuss in just a moment. Before nickels, we used silver half dimes, but half dimes were hard to handle because they were so small, and the value of silver was increasing big time, so half dimes were dropped and nickels replaced them. What's a nickel made of? Well, nickel, of course, and copper. But what's surprising is that a nickel is 3/4 copper and just 1/4 nickel. In 1941, the United States Mint made 300 million nickels. I did some math, and if my figuring is right, those 300 million nickels contained about 3 1/3 million pounds of nickel. Now, that was 1941, and if you were listening in history class, you know what happened on December 7 of that year. So suddenly, we were engaged in a big war. And in wartime, nickel is a valuable commodity. You can make a lot of war stuff from nickel, from guns to mechanical parts to battleships, but mostly it was used for armor. So the government decided that the nickel that was being used in making nickels could be better used in the war effort. Remember, 3 1/3 million pounds of the stuff per year. But then, what should nickels be made of, if not nickel? Well, how about silver? Silver? As of today, each war nickel has 88 cents worth of silver in it. A silver dime has $1.13 worth of silver, so two war nickels have 65 cents more nickel in them than a silver dime has. That doesn't make a lot of sense. As far as I can determine, here's why they used silver in nickels. First, 5-cent pieces had been made of silver before they switched to nickel in 1866. Second, in 1942, silver was worth only about 1/3 of what it is worth now, and that is adjusted for inflation. And third, the formula they used, which was 35% silver, 56% copper, and 9% manganese, had just about the same weight and electrical conductivity as the nickel had. This last point was important because nickels were used in a lot of vending machines, and vending machines could measure weight and conductivity to screen out counterfeit coins. We didn't want our new nickels to be rejected by the Nickelodeon. The original plan was that after the war was over, these silver nickels would be pulled back out of circulation. And to make that easy, the mint marks were made huge and right above the dome of Monticello. And for the first time in our nation's history, Philadelphia used a P mint mark. So after the war, people would be asked to turn in all their nickels with the big mint marks. Of course, this never happened. It wasn't until October 1942 that the switch from nickel to silver was made. The Denver Mint didn't do any of the silver coins in 1942, so there are no 1942 D nickels with the mint mark above the dome. But there are both nickel and silver nickels from Philadelphia and San Francisco, dated 1942. In 1943, 44, and 45, all three mints issued the silver nickels. The war ended in 1945, and in 1946, we went back to our regular nickel nickels, with the tiny mint marks of D and S, but no P. There are some rare mint issues and irregularities in some of the silver nickels that make them worth a lot of money, but for the most part, those silver nickels you dig out of the ground are worth a couple of dollars each. The three errors that are worth more are a 1943 P that has been stamped over a 1942, a 1943 P where Jefferson has a doubled I, and the 1945 P with a double die backside. It takes a good magnifying glass and some expertise to identify these variations, but the odds are you'll never see one. Thanks for listening, and I invite you to check out my book, The Metal Detecting Manual, at treasuremanual.com. In the Treasure Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.